What's up, everyone? Welcome back to week 15 edition of the Rooftop Sports Podcast. I am Eddie Zamitis alongside Mr. Chris Hand. How are you doing, sir?
Yo. I'm good. I'm excited.
We are coming off a rough week personally. Both of us got our cars smacked this week. So we're coming in a day late, having to deal with all sorts of insurance messes and things like that.
Insurance.
Mine
is
not as bad as yours. just to kind of, before we get into the sports stuff, we'll talk a little bit of why we're a day late with posting this. But yeah, my car, Friday morning, we got back from Turks and Caicos, and because it's so cold here, my wife's battery died, so I let her take my car to work the following day on Friday, and then just sitting at the stop sign, and all of a sudden, neighbor comes, and boom, smack, right in the side, all sorts of scratches, plus it's a lease, so I got to get that fixed for sure. And yeah, I saw some pictures that Chris sent me here. Chris, yours is much worse than mine.
Oh my God. I have a hole in the back of my
car. Yeah, it's not
a
good thing to have in your car.
No, I was so basically, I drove up from Rochester to Buffalo to go see the Bills play the Jets this week. Buddy from back home is visiting friends from college in Buffalo. So I'm like, hey, man, I'll come through. We'll have a good time and we'll just party it up, good old Buffalo style. Pull up to the house, do a little street parking. You know, I double check. Okay, I'm good. I'm off to the side of the curb. Next, you know, get to the house. You know, we're having a good time. We're watching Army Navy. And then all of a sudden, boom, we hear a loud bang.
Oh, you heard it.
I knew immediately what happened. I'm like, my car just got hit. We go outside, investigate it. I'm like, that's not where I originally parked.
No.
The car skidded 50 feet, according to the cop, onto the neighbor's driveway. The other car skidded like further down the road for like another 25. And it was just his airbags deployed. It was just bad. Luckily, everyone was okay. Nobody was hurt or anything. But man, it put a damper on that.
For sure.
But I rallied. I said, you know what? I'm not gonna let this end my weekend. We're still gonna roll through a good old Bills tail.
For sure. That's what you gotta do. That's how you wipe away the anger and frustration. You go to the parking lot, you know, get plowed and go through a table or two. Did you happen to see Joey Chestnut while you were there, the hot dog eating guy?
No. Oh my God. So I believe that happened around close to the bus lot. So I was like, we migrated over there. We were in one of the parking lots, and we just like kind of like migrated over, and we just like, I look over from where we were playing like flip cup, and I'm like, that's a lot of ruckus going on over there. Ruckus, like I'm saying, like a fucking old man. But yeah, I'm like, oh, shit. I wonder what's going on. Maybe. And then later, like, at the game, I'm, like, scrolling through Instagram at, like, halftime. And I look up. I'm like, no fucking way. Joey Chestnut is here, man. Fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude. Bills tailgates. Fucking awesome time.
Yes, they are.
I didn't go through a table. I wanted to.
It's overrated.
But it was just, like, yeah, it's overrated and stuff like that. But it was good. It was good camaraderie. I was wearing a little bit. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, so I don't know if I can really root for the Jets. Not really, but I'm not the Bills because I don't know. But I was wearing some wedding green, so I was getting some hate thrown my way. But it's all fun
for sure. Yeah, I mean, they're always fun to do. So anytime you can get to a tailgate, I think even the later ones are sometimes more fun because the tickets are cheaper. Therefore, you get a little more rowdy. Depends on the type of thing you're looking for. If you're looking to actually go and enjoy the game, don't go late in the year. If you're looking to go and party, that is when you go, is when it gets the cold times, December. That's when you start seeing the sex and the crazy stuff, the not PG 13. Oh, it gets a little radar X sometimes. So
at that point, the cut, yeah.
But yeah, Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eating champ, I guess he was spotted all around Buffalo all weekend and then all of a sudden made an appearance at the Bills game. Started chugging some beers. I heard he put someone through a table, or he went through a table. I don't know what. I didn't see that video, but
I heard that one
on the radio. So it's always a cool atmosphere to be there, even when they suck. Because what else do we have to do? We have to party to sit through the misery of 3 hours of football that we're going to watch coming up. So need a couple beer jackets for that.
Oh, definitely. And just like, it was kind of like a bittery cold day. I mean, the sun came out at one point, which was awesome because we were on the side of the field that the sun was directly beaming onto you.
Oh yeah. It actually gets pretty warm when that happens.
Oh no, I took off my first layer.
Even if it's 40 degrees out, you might be shedding layers because that's where we were.
Yeah, no, I was shedding
layers. We went
to
the Saints game last year. It was about mid-November last year when we went. Temperature was like 40 degrees. Sun pops out and you're like, all right, it's getting a little warm. I'm going to start shedding some layers here. But you rack up so many of them before you go in, you're just like, damn, I don't know where to start with all of these. So, but
no, it was actually one of the funniest things is because I grabbed a beer out of the cooler and the beer was actually warmer when I first took it out of the cooler than it was on the one that I was drinking.
Really?
Because we didn't put any ice. Yeah, we just put straight fridge into cooler and then we headed out. We didn't put any ice. We didn't put any snow in there. And we just like, we grabbed the beer and I'm like, oh my God, I need my beer to warm me up. It was that crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
And if there's any sponsors out there, you know, people looking, you know, I'll say that beer name for you.
So. Yeah, but we're not doing any advertising for the beer companies just yet.
Not yet. But yeah, no, Bills game was a lot of fun. I always try and make it at least once a year. Definitely, like you said, the later December games are probably the better ones to go to because tickets are cheaper. Nobody really wants to stand outside for a Bills game in -30 or -20.
No, they do not.
But but because I was at the Bills game, my football knowledge of what happened this weekend is a little bit rough, but every time I looked up, I saw the scoreboard and saw that, you know, like the Giants were putting up a big points, and I saw that the Patriots and Miami game was going close. So can you enlighten me a little bit on what happened? I mean, I obviously heard.
Yeah, man, you missed a crazy day. Not just the Miami Miracle, but there was a lot of overtime games, a lot of close finishes that came down to the wire. I know I was sweating out a couple games betting-wise, but yeah, there was a lot of close games this week. Sometimes, you know, the red zone can be hit or miss where you get some of those games where they're all pretty much decided, not a lot of drama in that witching hour that they call it. But yeah, I think this week definitely was one of the good weeks. And a lot of people had got their money's worth for however much they pay for the Red Zone channel every month. But yeah, this was a fun week. And then Miami Miracle topped it all off, man. That was unbelievable. And you could see that happening if it's like, I don't know, awful team that's known for being terrible. Doing that, yeah. But like, because it was so undisciplined,
like the Titans,
something like that.
Yeah.
But when you have a team so disciplined as the Patriots to give up that kind of play, that kind of fluke luckiness, man.
Why was Gronk out there?
He looked like me trying to tackle somebody out there. That was bad.
Why was Gronk out there?
He was there to try and deflect the Hail Mary pass, but which didn't make any sense because
Tannehill doesn't have an arm.
No, they're at
their
like 30-yard line. So. You put somebody there who can tackle and you're probably in decent shape, but
right.
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking. They're very uncharacteristics of the Patriots to kind of have one of those, you know, football follies as they call it, where you look embarrassed. I mean, hey,
I know
Miami, they played it right though. They lateraled, and then they set up some blocks and, Pittsburgh,
yeah,
I don't know if you saw the Pittsburgh game either, but they ran something pretty similar, a hooking ladder. They got all the way down to field goal range to tie the game, send it to overtime, and then the kicker slipped on Oakland's dirty-ass field. And, yeah.
No worry, they're moving to Vegas sometime soon.
For sure. But, yeah, it was a crazy day in the NFL for sure. You missed out on a good one. Red zone is always fun, but this one definitely – got our money's worth for sure. So,
I was going to say this leads me into one of the questions that I prepared. Yep. It's kind of a pick 'em. So there's four different situations that you get put in, and you let's, for circumstances right now, say it is playoff. Let's add that.
When you told me about this, I was like, yeah, we got to do this as like a playoff game.
This is a playoff game. Now, there's four options. Probably everybody's thought of this at some point in time. But so you have option one, buzzer beater three. So you hit the game-winning three-point at the buzzer. Not to send it to overtime, not a two-pointer, not a running hook or a dunk. You're back from the three-point line, and you hit that three. Next, we're going to say is game-winning shootout hockey. So, you know, you're taking the puck, bringing it up the ice. It's just you and the goalie, center stage, and it's just one-on-one, mano-a-mano. Let's see what happens here. So there's that. There's the walk-off home run, bottom of the ninth, home, you know, playoff, September, October baseball. You know, it's kind of down to the wire there. And then lastly is the game-winning touchdown, similar to what happened in Minnesota Saints in the playoffs last year. You can think of it, or like a hook and ladder kind of lateral thing. It's kind of like, which one of those options would you, you know, prefer?
Oh, you can only me. Pick one. It's kind of easy for me. Football is my favorite sport. I want to get that out of the way.
Right.
I still just think there's nothing better than hitting a buzzer beater in sports and winning the game. It's just one of those moments, like, not just like, boom, look at me, but it's like one of those things where you're kind of center stage, all eyes on you.
Right.
You made the shot. You know, you came through in the clutch. You won the game for your team. Whereas, you know, when you throw the pass, somebody has to throw it. Somebody has to catch it. Everybody has to block. It's kind of a team effort still. In hockey, you know, you have to have a bunch of other people. You know, the goalie has to make stops for your team in order for you to even be in the position to win the game for your team. So I don't think it's as dramatic when you win that. Plus, in the same thing, in when you have shootouts in the NHL, it's tough because they don't do those in the playoffs. So if you score an overtime clutch goal, now we're also kind of thinking about, I guess you could throw that in there, because in the playoffs, they play overtime for, you know, as long as you can go.
I didn't know that because I don't know hockey, but that's just
so me. That was part of it.
So you're going buzzer beater three. I can see that.
Yeah, and I'm not big into baseball, so I mean, a walk off homer, maybe like a walk off grand slam, something like that in the playoffs, probably pretty big. But I think it was Aaron Boone. I'm gonna actually
disagree with you there.
Was Aaron Boone the guy for the Yankees that did that?
Yep. Aaron Boone hit the walk-off to beat the Red Sox and, like, I want to say the ALCS. Okay. But, I'm actually going to disagree with you there a little bit. Nice. I think the walk-off, I don't know, because, again, like, growing up, baseball was my sport. I didn't really do much basketball, and hell no hockey. Growing up in Westchester County, New York, there was, like, one hockey rink. And touchdown, I was a lineman. So it's just like, I never was able to be ever put into that opportunity. So walk-off home run for me, it's just, especially, I never got to the high level of playing like baseball with like a wooden bat, but there's a couple sounds out there that are just pure perfection. And it's like a nice swish, like, splash city with a basketball, and it's a walk off the sound of a bat ball hitting off a bat, a wooden bat, the sound that it makes, the crack of the bat. It's very, you can't, like, I'm just thinking of it now. It's just, it brings back a lot of memories, and it's just so much power. I do like it. It's more, I think you're more center stage on baseball on a walk-off because you still got around the bases.
Yeah. Oh, and you got that like dramatic pause when you're going around the bases. Everybody kind of celebrating you before your team can jump on you. Where as soon as you hit the buzzer beater, your team's running after you, tackling your ass.
But the awesome thing about, I'll say buzzer beater is my second choice. The awesome thing about that is that not only did the team might come and hit you, if this is a college game too, the students are storming the court. And that becomes even awesome. That's like really awesome too. And it's just like, it's also being in an arena, basketball arena, you know, that it's like more, I guess, enclosed. So you feel more of the presence of everyone. So it's kind of like baseball. It's like there's people in the stands and you know, it's more like that. But yeah, no, I'm going to say a walk-off home run. Just, you can also do a freaking bat flip that just like, send that bat skyrocket, and you know that you brought your team there, the clutch factor. That's what I'm
going I like with. It. I mean, you got me. I still think the buzzer beater just because I play basketball. I don't play baseball, so that's probably why I kind of lean that. Yeah. But I think that's the second one now for me. It jumps football. I was thinking football before, but now I probably would say that I would go with baseball just because of that, like you said, that dramatic rounding the bases – everybody kind of celebrating you playoff moment. It's a big moment, man. So I think I agree with that.
Yeah. That's and
good.
It's
a good point.
It gets tough out there in like October, you know, it's cold in certain these cities, it's cold and just like, the thing is like in basketball, yeah, there's a clock. So that kind of adds a little bit more pressure. Like, hey, you gotta run up the court. Like if you're inbounded from underneath your basket, you gotta run up and get that basket and get that shot off. In baseball, you know, you can work the count, you can foul it off, and then just kind of like wait for your pitch and just, you know, if he grooves one, you send that ball out of there.
Yeah. You can really knock that thing out of the park if in not just, you know, the ball literally, but you can also, you know, make a pretty big moment for yourself in if you do that. Man, a playoff home run. I think that's pretty good one. Like you said, hockey and football, it's tough to be as dramatic as baseball and football.
Right.
Or baseball and basketball.
It's more team effort.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's more team effort.
So. Yeah, I think that's we gotta do more of those would you rathers, because those are fun and
little pickups and stuff like that.
We gotta come up with some good ones that we can tie into sports and kind of play around with some ideas there. So I like that. That's cool. So kind of segue into another thing in the NFL. Last week, Jets, Raiders, Giants, a lot of those teams that are at the bottom came out with wins. And something that Chris and I have always talked about is tanking in the NFL. You see it in the NBA a lot. And
definitely.
I wonder why you see it so much in the NBA where there is a lottery, and you don't see it so much in the NFL where there is not a lottery and you're guaranteed a top pick. So why do you think teams don't tank as much in the NFL? Is it because like players and, you know, the league is so hard to make it and you could get cut on a day? But I mean, you can do that. The same thing would happen in the NBA too. So what do you think it is?
That's actually a really good question. And that's something that I never really thought about. It's just, the NFL, I mean, because it doesn't – in the smaller markets, I can see, like, you need to get people – like, you can't really tank because, you know, you need to fill the stands and get people in there. And, like, in the larger markets in, like, New York, you know, you're going to sell out no matter what. But, like, you know, in Buffalo, they suck. And, you know, that's a harder example because Buffalo's loyalty is just – you know, you have the tailgate. So like example, like let's say Carolina Panthers, why take Cam Newton away? You know, it's a smaller market city. They need to be good to fill people to go to those games and things like that. But, you know, so why not tank to try and get a better pick? Cause it's like you say in football, it's not just the first, like you can get potentially like the top five picks, but then it comes back around to, you know, in the second round, where to be honest, you find better value in assets in the second and third rather than the first round. Cool. And those high second and third round picks, you can find like pretty decent players who probably should have been first rounders, but dropped.
Well, just like picking higher. I think you can also look how much teams give up to move up in the draft.
Right.
So you have so much more leverage being at the top. And I get into this argument with Bills fans all the time is, oh, no, you shouldn't tank. You play to win the game, the old Herm Edwards thing. No. Like, all right, the Bills in 2010, they started out 0-8. At that point, you know, rip the papers up. The season's over. Who cares? What do? They go 4-4 in their last eight games, finish 4-12. Because they won a meaningless Week 15 game against the Bengals, a meaningless Week 16 game against the Dolphins, that costed them Cam Newton. Now they had to draft Marcell Dareus with the third pick overall. If they lost those two games, he's not even on the team anymore. You lose those two games, you end up with either Cam Newton or Von Miller at pick one or pick two. But instead, you end up with Marcell Dareus, and he does nothing. You're in the same boat you've been in for the past 15 years.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a tough one. I mean, I understand. Like, it's weird that you don't see it in football.
Yeah.
Because it's – I don't want to say it's not difficult. It's kind of easy to tank.
Oh, it is. You just play your younger guys, your team players that aren't that talented.
But if you go 0-8, why don't you start, like, developing some of these players, get them more, you know, experience.
Exactly.
And things like that. Like, I know we were talking about Carson Wentz, you know, Eagles are doing trash. And it's just like, well, let's rest our star player and develop some other assets.
Right.
Here.
And what happens if, you know, you have a player who is one of your best players? Like, I agree with what the Eagles are doing here. They're resting their star player. Because what if Carson Wentz were to go out? His knee's already a little bum still from last year. What if he goes and tears his ACL again? Now he's missing a good chunk of next year. So I just don't think the risk of trying to win these games and play your best players, all that stuff, is worth the reward of meaningless Week 15 and 16 wins against the Bengals and Dolphins.
Yeah.
I don't know why people still insist on being like, no, I want my team to win these meaningless games. Ugh, no.
Well,
think. Get the better draft pick, get the better assets. Better assets equals better players. And then they say, oh, Aaron Rodgers was drafted 25th overall. Okay, yeah, I have a list here of quarterbacks who were also drafted from picks 15 through 32 in the past since 2002. Let's list them out. Patrick Ramsey in 2002, sucked. Kyle Bowler or Rex Grossman in 2003, sucked. J.P. Lossman, I know firsthand, he sucked. Then you have Aaron Rodgers, good. Jason Campbell was in that same draft, bad. 06, nothing. 07, Brady Quinn.
Oh, my God, Campbell.
Nothing. Brady Quinn sucked. Flacco was 08, good. 09, Josh Freeman. Where's he now? Out of the league. Tebow in 2010. Where's he? Out of the league. Nobody in 11.
Hey, he's playing baseball.
Yeah. 2012 was Brandon Whedon. Where's he? Third string quarterback for the Texans. EJ Manuel is 2013. Gone. Ugh. Manziel and Bridgewater the next year. Are they really tearing up the league? Is Teddy Bridgewater tearing up the league? Neither of them are starters in the NFL.
Well, Johnny Manziel is, well, I don't even know. But Teddy Bridgewater could be a starter somewhere. It's just with the leg and everything and the situation.
Yeah, but so, he's not like a superstar quarterback.
No.
And then...
Well, neither was Joe Flacco when you mentioned that list.
Well, I mean, he got a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, well, with Eli's got two Super Bowl rings. I mean, he carried off the defense, and he just didn't throw interceptions. That'll say. But continue with your list.
Then we just got Paxton Lynch, who's not even in the league 2 years later, so...
Oh, my God.
There you go.
He got ran
only
out.
And then we
got
to add Lamar Jackson to the list, but we don't know how he's going to be. So, anyway, it's not that good of a crop of quarterbacks that you're going to find from that 15 to 32 range. That just shows the higher up you are, the better your chances are picking a better player. It's simple.
True.
You're playing the draft to increase your odds of finding a better player. To do that, you have to be at the top of the draft. To get to the top of the draft, you have to lose games or trade a shit ton of assets to get up there.
Yeah, that's never worked.
I just really get passionate about tanking. It's one of the things that I really wanted the Bills to do last year. Like, think about it. If the Bills – I got to see them play on TV for an extra week. They didn't even score a touchdown. They scored 3 points. Could I have sacrificed that 1 week of watching the Bills play on TV to possibly get the best quarterback available in this draft? this past year? Sure. I would have loved to have had the best quarterback in the draft and not had to trade. Like, we gave up, let's see, I think we gave up like 4 picks to move up in the draft this year.
You didn't move up that far either.
No, we gave up 2 because we moved – or 3 in addition because we moved from 21 to 12, 12 to 7, and then we gave up 2 second-rounders to get from 12 to 7. So there goes 2 picks. Then we moved up to get Tremaine Edmonds from 21 to like 14 or something like that. And – yeah, he does look good.
By the way,
but we still had to give up another player in the third round, another third round pick, which, you know, they're probably not going to be superstars, but they're assets. So, again, we're continuing to give them up. So, right. Whatever.
Right. No, it's understandable. And like, I'm kind of with the Giants and whatnot. Like, they should have been. I mean, the quarterback, I would say, draft this year doesn't look very high, with just potentially being that guy, one guy from Oregon. And, like, is Kyler Murray even going to be a be a good player? Is he even, or is he just going to baseball?
I think he's just going to go play baseball. He's like 5'10".
Yeah, actually, better. That's more guaranteed money. You're going to stay in the league a lot longer. Yeah,
I think so.
But yeah, no, the Giants should be, tanking a little bit more. They should be trying. I don't understand the winning streak because they're still in the hunt. But we're, like, kind of running with Manning, but we also have this guy, Kyle Lanuza or something. I don't know. Lithuania. I mean, I want a higher draft pick because I want to fix that offensive line, and that would be a good way of doing so. And just what they're doing, winning these games. Like, why do you have to beat up on the Redskins? Why? We're really going to finish this year 8-8 if we try and win out. That's going to just be a ruin our draft status, and just doesn't make any sense. Although I would say there's a lot of good teams right now, kind of like all in the hunt. So so if we were to finish at 8-8, it would be a little bit closer to like the tailor end of the higher end of the draft order. But I mean, a lot of people got on the Giants last year for drafting Saquon Barkley in number 2 and missing out on potential star quarterback of the future, but Kate can run.
No, for sure. He's 3rd in the league in rushing right now behind Gurley and Zeke. So he's not going to be a bust. That's for sure.
And I kind of rather go. I always view it as you take the best player available when you're drafting at that, like, 1-5.
I generally agree with that, but sometimes, like, quarterbacks, you sometimes have to reach for it. I always say there's 3 things in life you don't go cheap on: sleep, transportation, quarterbacks. That's it.
I mean, I would agree. The thing is, the only quarterback that I would want to take this year is Baker Mayfield. Just because of how much of a stud he looked in college. And now that he's kind of like how he's tearing it up right now, and just the confidence is just like, I would rather have Baker. Although I don't think he would have fit in New York media or New York
style. Get off this podcast now. I am not a Baker Mayfield fan. No.
No. Well, I know who you're
a Darnold guy. And Rosen. Darnold and Rosen.
Darnold and Rosen. Man, when you heard that, Josh.
Oof. Wrong Josh. Still wrong Josh. Everybody's loving how he's running all over the place right now, especially in Buffalo. He's running for 3 straight games in a row. I think he's gone over 100 yards, like broke Michael Vick's record.
I heard it. Yeah, I heard someone say he's the white Michael Vick. I'm like, Michael Vick could still throw the ball accurately.
We had Tyrod Taylor. Now we just have a taller version of Tyrod. No, I don't want that.
Tyrod. Tyrod was literally the next Michael Vick because he also came from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that is true. So, and they were like literally the same size too, like just opposite hand.
Yeah. Yep. No, Allen needs to learn how to keep presence in the pocket.
I agree.
You shouldn't be.
That's what's going to win you games in the NFL. And you have to eventually be able to stand in the pocket, throw the ball downfield, convert that way. Because if you're going to be running around like a little chicken with your head cut off, you just look like you don't know what you're doing. And sometimes I think part of it is his weapons. He doesn't have very good receivers right now. Like, I think Robert Foster, Zay Jones are like the two best receivers he has. So
Clay keeps dropping the
ball. So they got to get some weapons around him. Offensive line needs to get a little bit better. But, that's a whole nother story for a different day where we could talk about that. But bottom line is, I think you and I both agree. I don't understand why these teams aren't tanking more. Because, like you just said, you would love the Giants to be higher up in the draft and have a shot at a top-tier offensive lineman or something like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, or – oh, yeah, hell yeah. Or, like, a decent linebacker or an edge rusher or – obviously offensive line is the first thing to fix, but I mean, like, looking at some of these players, you know, I mean, if they draft another fucking cornerback, I'm going to be pissed off with the Eli Apple trade and just shit like that. But no, I mean, I want that. That's where you're going to get your better players. And I'm not saying like you need to tank all the way to like the number one, but it is nice to be in that situation where if you have the top three pick and you can, if you can drop it down to, I don't know, four or five. And then like, I mean, the Colts, basically look what happened with the Colts. They had the third overall pick and they traded with the Jets and they dropped down. I think it was one spot and picked up Quentin Nelson and other assets. I mean, Quentin Nelson was a top lineman from Notre Dame. That's fucking hilarious. If you see it on Instagram, they mic'd him up, and it's just him just yelling as he's doing a pull move and hitting a linebacker or something.
I remember that. And then I think because that video went viral, he actually got fined for it because he hit him with his helmet.
Really?
And they would have never found it if the video hadn't gone viral.
That's bullshit. Yeah.
Tell me about it. So. Poor guy's on his rookie deal. Cut him some slack. I feel bad about, I remember I read a story about some dude that got fined in the preseason, like $20,000. And he was like one of those dudes that's like the bottom of the barrel roster, like guy number 89 out of 90 on the preseason. So you know that the dude is not making the team.
Oh,
and this dude got fined like $20,000 because he hit somebody illegally in a game. Jesus. And I think like the higher end guys ended up paying the fine for him, but still, man, poor guy. But you know you're not going to make the team.
Yeah, you heard about, I think it was like the first time LeBron went to, what's it called, Cleveland, he paid off Tristan Thompson's fines or something like that. Or like if Tristan Thompson got like one more technical foul, then he like got suspended and fined.
That was before he signed his big deal. Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson. Yeah, that's what LeBron. Thanks to LeBron.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he would do stuff like that. Because you got to remember, if you're like on a G League two-way contract, like my boy Iso Zoe for the Knicks, shout out. You're not gonna like get any money. You're not getting any money. And like if you get fined for this, you know, it's dumb.
Yes, it is. So, I mean... Yeah, you just show some. So I get that you have to like hold standards for every team, but at the same time, cut the guys some slack that are not the most wealthy individuals that are out there. So,
well, there should be a sliding scale. Yeah,
I agree. There should be.
Definitely should be, even if it is preseason. So, or a reimbursement policy. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the fine should stand if you make the team. If you make the team, then the fine stands. If it doesn't, then best of luck to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, we did just kind of talk about some NBA. We'll segue over to that a little bit because we did have a little bit of the drama in the NBA where that is always producing drama every week.
Always with the
drama. So, Kevin Durant this week has been
the snake. Yeah, that guy.
He has been throwing a little, not this week. I think he also did it a couple weeks ago. Threw a little shade at the king, at Mr. LeBron James.
He needs to just shut up. Honestly. It's like, I don't want to say it's like the rich kid at school who's complaining even though he's driving like his dad's Bentley there and has like fresh new kicks every day. And doesn't have to worry about a goddamn thing. I mean, stop, KD. You're on a freaking all. You guys can run the death lineup, which is just legitimately five all-stars. And soon, when Boogie Cousin comes back, legit five all-stars from last season. Like, stop complaining. All right, you got the perfect situation. And you're just fucking it up. And you're just looking for something to complain about. Oh, so what am I going to do? I'm going to go after LeBron James.
Yeah.
Give it a rest.
So the first thing he said was that playing with LeBron is toxic, apparently. Since when is making the finals 8 straight years in a row toxic? Yeah, sure. We can call that toxic. Because if that making the finals 8 straight years in a row is apparently toxic, I think we all should try and drink that if we're NBA players. So,
I mean, he's literally taken scrubs to the finals.
Yes, last year's team, awful. Year before that was really not good. And
no, when Kyrie was there and Kevin Love, and that they had a decent squad, but outside of those three, it was just kind of compacted with just no one else. Like last year's team was bad. JR was probably, well, Kevin Love, but my boy JR, even though he had that mental fuck up, he's still number one in my heart. Yes,
for sure. And then this week he came out and he said something along the lines of how, they were talking about who the greatest players of all time were. And what did he do? He said Michael Jordan, who is, of course, LeBron's kind of arch nemesis when you compare legacies. And
well, we still have to have that, what's it called, GOAT conversation.
Oh, yeah. As soon as football wraps up, we will be doing that for sure. So, yes, he said that one is in the conversation. Then he mentioned Kobe Bryant, who you can kind of tie into with the L.A. Lakers brand thing. And then he also mentioned Kyrie Irving, who LeBron played with in Cleveland. So tell me that's not a little bit of shade there that he's trying to...
He's just fucking trolling.
Yeah. He is. He's really trolling. Why do you think he's doing that? You think he's a little jealous of LeBron? Or what do you think is causing him to take these little jabs here and there?
I think he's just fucking bored. But, I mean, he could be jealous. He could be... I don't know. The thing is, KD's sensitive. He really, really is. He's very insecure. Yeah, the egg emojis and just like, dude, you're playing, like, stop telling fans to shut the fuck up and watch the game kind of thing. That's almost like as bad as LeBron or I want to say a LaVar's ball to like stay in your lane kind of thing. Saying it's not exactly apples to apples, but still, like, you know, just shut the fuck up and play the game.
Yes.
Like, take a page out of Kawhi's book and just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know,
more
just go out there and hoop.
More players should take some pages out of Kawhi's book because that too. But I think with Kevin Durant, I think when he went to the Warriors, he thought I'm gonna win some rings and then I'm gonna be in the GOAT conversation. And I don't think that's necessarily happening. All he's being associated with is I'm the best player on the best team. And I think it's a team thing, and that's why he's not standing out as much as he liked. Do you think he thought when he went to the Warriors, oh, I'm just going to go win some rings, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be in the GOAT conversation?
I think so. I mean, but how could you think that? I mean, like, that team was a stacked beforehand. Like, I think it was kind of like, if I can't beat him, might as well join him kind of thing. And then he didn't expect this public backlash. Or he's trying to do the whole LeBron, just maybe follow in LeBron's kind of footpath, be the bad guy for a minute. All right, he's a bad guy. He's won some championships, and, you know, LeBron did it in Miami. He did it in Golden State. You know, they're both kind of super teams. So now what is he going to do? He's kind of creating a little drama, gives him a perfect excuse. All right, I'm out. Okay, in this case, I don't think he's going to go back to Oklahoma, but, you know, maybe he goes to, isn't he a Maryland boy? Maybe he goes to D.C. and try and turn that shit show around.
I don't think he'll go back home to D.C. I think the only way he could become, you know, in that conversation of, you know, best players of all time is if he did go to a shitty team, or I wouldn't even necessarily say a bad team, more like a, you know, like a Washington. That's a perfect example. And turns them into a legit contender. Then you can, you know, talk about being in a conversation of one of the best players of all time. But until you do that, all you did was kind of cherry pick and go to the best team that was already established that won 73-9 the year before and win some rings there. I don't think that's necessarily going to elevate your legacy at all.
No. But honestly, I don't think he thought it would, the media and everyone would have this much backlash against him.
Yeah, they turned hard on him.
Even though it's kind of, I mean, well, he kind of, again, he brought it up to himself. It's like, what do you do when you get a nickname that you don't like? You don't automatically just, if you like say, no, guys, stop. No, stop. Man, that's not me. Like, no, you just either laugh along with it and then the joke kind of stops, or you just ignore it and it just goes away. The thing is, they want trolls on the internet, or especially the media, they want reactions. That's what makes the money.
Gets those clicks.
So what gets the clicks, puts the headline, makes people grab a paper. I mean, there's still papers, I guess. I don't know. But like on the internet, if you have a nice headline or a tag, you grab people to click it, buy it, or just look at it. You know, it's all about that. It's all about the views. And if you can get LeBron or KD saying something, and now everyone courtside is now going to heckle at KD about something so they can get him on camera saying to shut the fuck up and watch that game.
Yeah.
Like, because you said that and because it got shown on the internet, now everyone's going to do it. So if that really did bother you, then you just fucked up
more. That's exactly it.
So it's just, I don't know what he's doing. I mean, he is really good player though, too. And it's just like, just shut up. And I don't want to say just shut up and hoop, kind of like
shut up and dribble
that. But like, yeah, I'm not trying to say anything like that. I'm just saying like, man, you're on a really good team. Just enjoy the open looks that you're getting.
Right, you don't see Steph and Clay and those guys talking that much on that team, but he's always finding ways to create headlines there.
Yeah, and then maybe he's got his two rings and now he secretly wants to break it up so he can then, you know, go elsewhere, and then it becomes easier for them to win. But no, it's just like, it doesn't make any sense.
No,
and it's weird. It's weird to see how the locker room reacts to it, because it does seem like Draymond, excuse me, Draymond, Clay, and Steph are players, and just, you know, they're more camaraderie, rah-rah guys. And KD's kind of like the odd man out at this point. Like I hear it all the time. Like, no, you came to us. You came on to our team. We lost, yeah, but we probably would have been back there again.
Yeah, we would have been fine without you.
Yeah,
and I think that was actually their sales pitch to him was, hey, we're going to win titles with you. You want to jump on board? You can. Otherwise,
yeah,
you know, good luck trying to beat us.
Yeah.
So I don't think Kevin Durant expected to get this much backlash by joining the Warriors as he did. And I don't think he enjoys – I wouldn't say I don't think he enjoys being the bad guy, because he's playing the bad guy very well. But I actually think he is like a true, it's like a defensive bad guy. Like he's feels like he has to justify himself in a way. But at the same time, it's almost like quicksand, where when he tries to defend himself and make him, you know, when he tells those guys, shut the fuck up and play or just watch the game or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is him defending himself because people are heckling him. It's like when a bully gets picked on and they try and fight back, but they know it's bothering that person who's getting bullied. You're more likely to get bullied that way if they know it's getting to you. And I think that's what the media, the fans, they know it's getting to him in his head. And that's what's causing him to become even more of the bad guy in the NBA because he's so defensive of himself and he's got the burner accounts on Twitter. He's, you know, talking trash to 12-year-olds on Xbox Live, all that kind of stuff. So,
at some point you just got to learn.
But hey, when you're handed, you know, millions of dollars at 18, 19 years old, it's tough to do that kind of thing. So
that is true.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you think he enjoys being the bad guy in the NBA, or do you think it's something that he didn't want and just kind of is stuck with now?
I truly think he didn't like it to start, but now I think he's trying to embrace it. Maybe that's why you start seeing him saying more comments too. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe that's why he's trying to play the villainous role. But I mean, initially he did not like it.
Yeah.
He really didn't. I don't think he likes to be name called and stuff like that. And I think that's why the whole Oklahoma City and Russ thing actually hurt a lot probably to him, because Russell Westbrook gives no fucks. And he was just, he's a fucking cupcake. Fucking. And just started calling that to him and just got into his head. And it's just like all that. He's laying into the whole villainous role now, and he's not doing that good of a job. I think like LeBron did a much better job at it in Miami. And not so much that like he was the villain, but he's just like, all right, that's fine.
Yeah. We'll
just
win. I think LeBron knew he was going to get shit on when he went to Miami and kind of formed that so-called super team, which I don't even think really was a super team. I think the Warriors are more of a super team than the Heat were. Just because I don't know how the Warriors are still able to sign all these people to all these deals, and like I just feel like they put together such a good roster every year. They always add the right pieces that they need to kind of fill a hole from the year before. And when the one guy leaves, they plug him in with another guy who all of a sudden turns into be good. So,
well,
yeah. I with Miami, I just felt like there was not as much chemistry there. And Chris Bosh, all those guys were the number one scorer for their team throughout high school, college, even in the NBA. They were the best player on their team. Then all of a sudden they had to come together. It's really hard to get chemistry like that. All of a sudden, Chris Bosh, you go from option number one to option number three. That's tough, man.
Yeah.
So I don't think the Heat was as much of a super team in real life as they were on paper. So I think LeBron knew he was going to get shit on. He kind of embraced that villain role for a little bit there. But ultimately, deep down inside, I think he was like, no, this isn't me. I'm going to go back. So
no, and that's why he went back.
So.
And then, to be honest, he had better squads, I think, in Cleveland than he did in Miami.
Depth-wise, yes.
Yes. Oh, but talent around it? No. I think that those Miami teams were more talented. But Cleveland definitely had more depth.
Yes, I agree.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, except for his last 2 years in Cleveland, they did. They won like 60 games each year.
Oh, God.
Which I don't even think he won 60 games with the Heat ever. So his last 2 years in Cleveland had actually pretty decent help around him, but not like a superstar or a player that could elevate him to get over the top of where he needed to be to like compete at the highest levels against the stacked teams of the West and those kind of things. So, but yeah.
But to go on a little bit, just really quick, what I think that the Golden State, you know, still has all these, you know, super squads and stuff like that. It's because they have a good core. I mean, you have a nice 3-and-D shooter with Clay, and Draymond really accepts his role as more of a facilitator and a defensive specialist. Mm-hmm. And then you have Curry, who's your point guard, but he's really more of a 2 with really nice handles. Like, I don't consider Kyrie or Steph Curry a point guard, really. Not like to the traditional point guard. Like right. You saw in pass, where you're distributing, facilitating, and stuff like that. Kind of like how the ball point runs through you. It's more like, well, if I have the shot, I'll shoot it. If not, I'll dish it off. And the second best shooter in the league will shoot.
Yeah.
But they're not taking, what is Kyrie? I think, God dang, I keep saying Kyrie.
Curry.
Steph Curry. Did he get the Supermax? I know he got a huge extension and stuff like that. But where's Clay's money?
Clay's where's up at Clay's the end of the year.
Right. Where's Draymond's money?
TBD. He signed like an $80 million deal. And,
yeah. I guess that's – I think he's worth a little bit more than that. But, you know, where are these guys' money? And, yeah, the plug and play. I mean, you had JaVale McGee, and you could probably put in any other I want to say washed up center, but you know, they have Jordan Bell who they drafted out of Oregon. I can't believe they got him, but yeah, you can just put on, I think they have Jericho now who's in there. Well, they signed and they also signed Boogie. So I don't know, man. I don't know how they
Neither
do it.
Do I. That is a question that we all wonder about. So they put together rosters and they compete. That's why they compete for NBA championships year after year so far the past couple of years. And probably will again this year.
Yeah, we'll see them in June.
So, all right. So we'll kind of put a bow on everything here, and we'll get to our favorite segment, the high roller hand. Coming off a little bit of a rough week last week, there you had a couple of bad beats.
I know, man. Yeah,
well, first of all,
did I? I was talking about the car.
Oh yeah, that too. You had a. This is, I'm going to quote what you said here. Rams -3, they're going to blow them out of the water. Whoops.
I don't know what you're saying.
And then, of course, you had the Patriots with that ugly bad beat in Miami. Mother, even though it didn't cost you the spread, still, I guess you can consider that a bad beat. Another bad beat you had was the Eagles, because I don't know if you saw how that game ended with the pass that was played perfectly, and then it got deflected right into Amari Cooper's hands for the touchdown. So that kind of screwed you there. But
fucking yeah. Silly.
So not a good week last week, 0-3. But we got a bounce back week.
Shoot or shoot.
Yeah, we were 0-3 on the Syndicates podcast 2 weeks ago, and then last week we went 3-0. So. You can bounce back from it.
Oh, definitely.
All right, so I got this week's games ready to roll. And first one,
all right.
Thursday Night Football, the last Thursday Night Football game of the year.
Thank God.
You don't like Thursday Night Football?
No, really don't. Usually the games are terrible because of – but no,
continue. Okay. All right, so let's see. We are going with the – Chargers, who are +3.5 at Kansas City. So Kansas City is 3.5-point favorites against LA. Who are you liking that one?
Jesus Christ.
It's tough. You got that little hook there with the 0.5.
Who's home?
It is in Kansas City.
Nah. I'm going to take the Chargers.
Okay, so you like the Chargers +3.5. I actually kind of agree.
Give me the Bolts.
I kind of agree with you there.
No Hunt, no Hill, no Watkins. Really see what Patrick Mahomes can do without his specialty players.
Okay. So you like the Chargers +3.5. I agree with you there, and for those reasons exactly. Kansas City's getting pretty banged up. Look at how they've done the past 2 weeks, too. They have not looked very good. They had to go to overtime with Baltimore. and they only beat the Raiders by like a couple of points.
Damn.
The week before.
That Raiders one is a little bit more surprising because they are
cringe. Yes, they are. So, okay. Let's see what else we got here. Okay. Next one up. We are going to go. There's some Saturday games this week. Do you know that?
No, shit. Yeah, there's Saturday games?
4:30 Saturday. All right. So
that changes everything.
We'll go to one of the Saturday games. Primetime Saturday night. Denver Broncos at home against the Cleveland Browns. They are
Jesus Christ.
Denver Broncos -3 against the Browns. Who do you like in that one?
I'm taking the Browns.
Okay.
Come on, Cleveland.
Browns +3. All right.
I'll take the Browns +3. Only because...
You love Mayfield.
I really don't know. I just can't just be teams. It's a Saturday night. Maybe Baker will be like, oh, it's a Saturday night. It's a college game? Yeah, sure.
No, I'll okay. ball out like I did in college. Okay. I want to give you actually... two more, I think, because I found two that I really like. Okay, so first one.
All right, I'll win
yeah,
them all.
We're going to go 4 this week, 4-0. Dallas is on the road at Indianapolis. Indianapolis is 3-point favorites. Who do you like?
I, as a Giants fan, I purely can't root for the Cowboys. So I'm going
Colts -3, yes.
-3.
I like it.
Come on, Andrew Luck.
Okay. Let's see here. All right, and then the next game I wanted to give you is the big game of the day on Sunday. We have the New England Patriots -2 at Pittsburgh. Who do you like?
Oh, shit. I'm going to give me the Patriots. Never bet against the Patriots.
That is true. They are the best team at cashing against the spread.
And I mean, it's just, this is what's going to happen. Patriots are going to be winning. Pittsburgh's going to be making a drive down the field. Roethlisberger is going to, it's going to be like a 4th-and-1 or something. And he's going to do a ridiculous throw. And he's going to get intercepted.
You think so?
Like one of these like short little like dump passes over the top of the, yeah. Like they're going to try and do like a crossing route and he's going to just get picked
so
off.
So you think it's going to end because Ben throws a pick to screw it all up?
Yeah, he almost did it against last week I heard.
He did almost do it against the Raiders. And they ended up losing the game. But man, there was something very similar where a defensive lineman almost picked it off. Similar to the Broncos game a couple weeks ago.
Right. He's going to do it again.
I would not be surprised.
Guarantee it.
So,
take it to the bank. Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that's everything for the 4 games I had there. I will mark them all down. We got the Chargers +3.5, Browns +3, Colts -3, and then the Patriots -2 on the road. So, I like it.
And you know it's gonna. You know I'm gonna win because I'm undefeated.
Yeah.
Next week never happened.
Okay. Yeah, I think this could be a nice undefeated week for you because I kind of agree with most of those picks. Patriots one I'm still a little iffy on, but I like all 3 of those other ones. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw you go with that undefeated never lost.
Hell yeah.
Count so, it. Yeah. Anything else you wanted to kind of touch on for this week at all?
The fantasy football is dumb, so I'm out of my league. So I'm not in the SACO. I'm not in the final, like for the toilet bowl or anything like that. But I just missed out on the playoffs because a couple injured players, and I forgot to, maybe was a little bit too inebriated to set my lineup up a game. Maybe
in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh man, that is rookie mistake.
Just missed it. Just missed out on
rookie mistake. Well, you had a little Saturday night. A little rough Saturday night.
Oh, a little rough Saturday, yeah. But yeah, gotta figure out what the hell that car situation is gonna be like. Poor Vanessa. It's only 2 years old.
That's what
man.
You named her.
Yeah, my car, my little Mazda CX-3. Well, we'll see.
We'll see.
Damn insurance companies. Yep. But yeah, no, that's it. Tank for Zion. Let's go Knicks.
Hey, they lost tonight, so that helps.
To the Cavs, yeah. Man. To the Cavs.
Yeah, about that. Jeez. So.
But yeah, no, that's it for
We will my wrap end. Up this week. And next week, week 16 of the NFL, we're going to have some bowl games coming up in college. Hopefully, we got a little more NBA drama to talk about because the season's been delivering it for us so far. And then next week, I also want to touch on the Cowboys possibly, depending on how it goes this week. And we'll talk about maybe whether or not you'd pay Dak Prescott that kind of money. So another topic next week that we'll dive into. Didn't want to touch on it too much this week, but as we get closer to the end of the season.
That'll be our last one for the year. Because then it's holiday weekends after that.
Yes, that will be our last one for the year. We'll skip the Christmas one, jump into – we'll come back for the new year, get into the playoffs and all that kind of fun stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll be in Argentina, so I might call in for that one.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It was tough for me when I was out of the country, so – but we'll figure it out. We'll be back next week for sure. And then from there,
definitely.
Don't worry, we'll still be here to annoy the hell out of you. So appreciate everybody listening. Yep. Download, rate, subscribe. iTunes, Spotify. I heard something about Spotify this week. Oh, yeah, they had some top 10 list that they released or whatever. But I don't think we made it. So maybe next year we'll be on their top whatever list that they release. So, hey.
Nip, follow Twitter.
Yes, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. We're out there. So, yeah, just follow us and appreciate all the support. So, thank you guys very much. See ya.
Thank you.